If you got your Bible this evening, turn with us in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. And if you would, let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, found over in the book of Acts, chapter number 20. We're going to start reading in verse number 6. Acts 20, verse 6. If you're there, say amen tonight. And we sailed away from Philippi. After the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7. And upon the first day of the week, look what we find. The disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. There sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life's in him." When he therefore was come up again and broken bread and eat and talked a long while, even to break a day, so he departed. They brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for the good day that you've given us. Lord, as Brother Mike's already said tonight, we want to thank you. Lord, how you've allowed us to gather again this side of your heaven. I want to pray for those special requests tonight, God, that's been spoken. Lord, you know each need, each heart, each home, each life. God, you know everything about us, and I pray that you would see about every need there. And then, God, every need in the sanctuary tonight, I pray that you would deal with hearts and you would see and look inside tonight. Bring us the words that we need. Help us now, and we'll be grateful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Interested this evening in verse number 9, there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And I'm going to preach on this simple subject tonight, on sleeping in church. And sleeping in church. Now, there are four things I want to share with you that has to do with this story. Lord showed them to me this evening. First of all, there was preaching involved. Number two, there was a position involved. Number three, there was people involved. And number four, there was a penalty involved. Now, first of all, the preaching that is involved. I want to say sleeping in church tonight, the preaching that we have, it ought to awake us. You know, it makes me feel pretty good, Brother Tim. Somebody sort of go to sleep on me if they went to sleep on the best preacher that ever followed the Lord Jesus, Brother Lee, the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, I doubt if the Apostle Paul preached 30 minutes. He preached till midnight. Don't know what time they got started, but I can tell you this, he had something to say. And every preacher ought to have something to say. And boy, he's a good God. He's a big God. Our grandbaby come to church tonight. She asked me, she asked about her and two of her little friends in the church when they was going to get baptized. I said, "Well, hon, when Jesus knocks on your heart, and when you open up your heart and ask Him to come in and get saved, then you get baptized." I said, "And you'll know, because He's a big Jesus." She said, "No, He's a little Jesus, Pa." I said, "What you talking about?" Well, she categorized Him little enough to get in her heart. But can I tell you, He's big enough to go around into every heart tonight. And so, boy, Paul had something to say. Now, we see the preaching involved. I want to say this first of all. it ought to awake us. We ought to wake up about the time. In Romans 13 and verse number 11, I don't have a real negative message this evening, but I do want to point out some things that we need to wake up about. We ought to wake up about our time. Now, you'll notice in Romans 13, and here the Bible says in verse number 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We're one day closer today to heaven than we were yesterday. Matter of fact, the service started at around 7 o'clock. I'm about 15 minutes closer to heaven than I was when the church started. I'd sure hate to know that I was 15 minutes closer to hell than I was to heaven. And so certainly it ought to awake us about the time. Now it says this, the night's far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness and strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now the preaching, it ought to awake us. It's time that we awake out of our sleep. We see that it is the last time, the last days, and it's darker than it's ever been on the outside. But aren't you glad it's just shining as bright on the inside as it's ever shined? I'm glad Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Thank God, I'm glad there is the hope and the promise of salvation. Now we ought to wake of the time. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, it has something to say that we ought to wake up about our testimony. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 34, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Now look what he says. Awake to righteousness. In other words, don't be asleep in sin. Don't be asleep in trespasses and sin. Awake up to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He's saying, you need to live like you say. And we ought to wake up to our testimony. Let me tell you, everybody's watching you. They know where me and you go to church. Boy, I'm telling you what, the Bible says that we are an open epistle, read of all men. I wonder what they're reading in our lives as they look. People's watching you. So here tonight, the sleeping in church, the preaching involved, it ought to awake us. When we hear sermons, as I said this morning, I can't say enough about this topic. We ought to realize that it's not a man talking, but it's the God of the Bible talking when He's reading out of the Bible. God's saying something through His men that come through here. And we ought to be listening to what God is saying to. God sends us word. God sends us warning. And we ought to take heed to His word and to His warning. Boy, we ought to awake to the time. It's the last days. But can I say this tonight, church? What a great time to do something for the Lord. What a great time. I've often wondered, Brother Mike, how it would have been to have lived in the days of revival in America, where you would call a revival meeting. They'd go 2, 3, 4 weeks sometimes, not even miss a night. God moving. Couldn't even get in the altars for sinners getting saved. I would have loved to have been in on some of that. But I'm going to tell you, it's a great night tonight to be a Christian. It's a great night to be a preacher. Can I tell you, it's a blessing to know that your name's wrote down yonder in glory land tonight. And so certainly this preaching ought to awake us. And I don't know why he went to sleep. I don't know why some of us go to sleep. Now, you know, we can sit there with our eyes open, sound asleep. I worked with a man one time on third shift. I was in high school, and I'd go to work at 11 and get off at 7. I'd go to work, get out of school at 12:30, go home, lay down, and do that again. Seniors in high school don't know what that's about tonight. But anyway, there's a man that'd stand there, and he'd be sound asleep a lot of times and his eyes open. His name was Smiley. I'd wake up and say, Smiley, Smiley, Smiley. And you'd touch him. He'd jump off the machine there. You know, that's just like a lot of Baptists. They're sitting there on pews with their eyes open, but they're going to sleep. Preaching ought to awake us. Boy, we got hardened to the gospel. And when you know the preaching involved, it ought to awake us. It ought to awake us to the time. It ought to awake us to our testimony. And then Ephesians 5 and verse 14, the Bible has something else to say. We ought to wake up to the task that is before us. In Ephesians verse number 5, Ephesians chapter 5 verse number 14, there the Bible says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here it is, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We ought to be making up some things where we live for the devil. We ought to be making it up double for God. God's been good to us. Redeeming the time, making the best out of our time. We've got loved ones lost and undone without Christ. What are we doing? Wake up, church. Wake up. Get in your prayer altars. Tell them about Jesus. Live the life in front of them. Eternity's way too long to be wrong. Now, sleeping in church, the preaching involved. How could anybody go to sleep with Apostle Paul preaching? The preaching ought to awake us. But number two, notice position involved. It ought to alert us. Now, you'll notice in verse number 11 over in Acts 20, you'll notice back to the thought text that he was on the in the upper loft, or in verse number 11, you'll notice that while long preaching, you'll come back and find him in verse number 11. He said, and when he therefore was come up again and broken bread and eaten, talked long while even till break of day. So he departed. Then in verse 9, you'll notice he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now he was in a lofty position. It's easy to get high up on the limb if you're not careful. God will go to blessing you. I'm talking about his position. It ought to alert us. He was in a lofty position. Be careful not to roost too high. You'll have a long way to fall. I love that old rooster I had that the owl got him that night. Boy, he is doing good, he thought, on that top limb. But I tell you what, when that owl come by and got him and let him go, you couldn't throw him on that top limb no more. I mean, that's a fun, that's one of the greatest sermons God has ever shown me in the walk of life about that rooster. I had a poplar tree. And I mean, you can ask Renee, he was the craziest thing in the world. He's just crazy. He's a Baptist rooster. You know, game roosters like to fight. He was a Baptist rooster. But I mean, he just sitting right up there naked as a jaybird, right on the top limb, just right there in the wide open. Well, that owl come by and got him. We'd been to Megan's and come back, and the golf cart shined, and there was his turquoise feathers on the pavement. Renee said, something's got your rooster. Well, I went to bed just knowing this. Katie barred the door, neighbor. He is deader than a hammer. I woke up the next morning, and you asked Renee, I looked out the window, and he's out there by the pen. He was walking off, his tail feathers gone. And I tell you what, God is my witness. I looked the next night. I said, I wonder just really how crazy you are. Where are you going to get tonight? I couldn't find him. Got to looking on that limb where he wasn't. Got to looking way up. He is way up on that bottom limb, way up next to the tree trunk. He done learned him something. Amen. He done learned you better not roost too high, because you can sure get knocked off your perch in a hurry. Be careful and say, I don't and I won't. Amen. That's good country preaching tonight, preacher. Boy, I'm telling you what, his lofty position, it ought to alert us. We go to getting a little cocky. We go to thinking that we're something else. Oh, we better watch out, neighbor. We're headed for a fall. The lofty position is on third floor. But then his laxing position. Now, he ought to stay on guard. I don't know how comfortable he got, but he got pretty comfortable because the Bible said that he sunk down in deep sleep. And so, his position and our position here ought to alert us if when we're lofty or when we're laxing. And, but when we get lax, we better be on guard. We headed for bad things when we get lax. Amen. When we sinning and the preaching don't bother us about it, we better watch out. We better watch out. When we can just hit miss church and it don't matter, we better watch out. When you go to giving Santa Claus your tithe check, you better watch out. Oh, a big rabbit got up right then. Your lax position. But then, thought about this. His loan position. He's the only one who fell out. He got over there by himself. You know, I preached the other Sunday. I want you to look at this tonight. Ecclesiastes 4 on this lonely position. It speaks just volumes to my heart. Now I want to give you time to get there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. If you've got a Scofield, you can find it on page 699. But talking about his position, it ought to alert us. He was in a lofty position. He was in a laxing position. But he was in a lone position. He'd got off by himself. And you know, that's just what the devil would have us to do, get by ourselves. When we get to thinking we don't need each other, we headed for a fall. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 9. The writer starts out and he says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Now in verse 9, as I've said earlier, we need each other that we may work together. Two are better than one because they have a greater reward. We can do more together than we can alone. Amen. We need each other. And then we need each other not only for working, but we need each other for walking. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone. Woe to him that is alone. Because look what it says. When he falleth. It's a lot easier to fall by yourself. You ever fail and wondered if somebody watching you? I come out of the garage last night, and Jenna got a light on, having a little grandboy, and he wanted to ride the buggy, and I took him for a little ride. Well, I cut the light out, and I grabbed him. And I've been coming out that door as long as it's been there. And I went, when I stepped down, I hit a big rock, turned my ankle, and I fell. Right when I fell, I had him, instead of letting go, I just snatched him down with me. You could have heard him squalling to the courthouse. I mean, mama, mama, mama is all I heard. He's a screaming, mama, mama, mama. You know, if that had been in daylight, y'all would still been laughing at me. But you know, you sort of get up and brush yourself off, and I come in, and they say, what in the world happened to you? Ground is wet. I said, well, I fell. And what's wrong with the grandboy? Well, he fell too. I've noticed this. When we fall, we don't always fall by ourselves. We'll take people down with us. And we better be careful what we're doing and where we're stepping. Because even though I've come out of that door now for a long time, that bottom step got me. But I tell you what I done today. Y'all ever notice when I come down these steps, I do my heel this way? I want to be sure I'm fixing to step on something. I come out of that garage now, I'm doing this.
And like Brother David told Felt a while ago, me and him's done get too old to fight, so we're just going to go real easy everywhere we're going. Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying simply tonight, going to sleep in church, we better watch this lone position. He said, if one fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe be to him that is alone. Then verse 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Boy, we need each other for warmth. Thank God for friendship. Thank God for companionship. And then the Bible says, and one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need others to watch for us, and that's where I'm headed tonight. The preaching involved, it ought to awake us. The position involved, it ought to alert us. Are you as on your toes as you used to be? Are you as excited about going to church as you used to be? Here he just sort of sunk down and he got real comfy. You know, tonight our churches have got real comfy. Back when our forefathers were going to church, I really believe they appreciated God 10 times more than the generation that we live in today. But I'm going to tell you what, He's still God. And He's still a good God. And He's worthy of all of our praise. Sleeping in church. The preaching involved, it ought to awake us. The position involved, it ought to alert us. When we just get lax and lackadaisical, it ought to alert us. But then notice there was people involved that ought to affect us. And I'm going to say some things tonight that some of you is not going to like. Me, number one, I don't like constructive criticism. But it helps me. Have you ever noticed when somebody tells you something that you don't like, how the hair stand up on the back of your neck just all of a sudden? But you know, I've noticed every time that does, it helps me. I didn't say I like it. I said it helped me. And so the people involved, it ought to affect us. First of all, we as an assembly, we ought to encounter people. Proverbs chapter number 1. Now, the reason I brought this on by outline, why the people? I know people make choices. And I know there's always going to be people that make wrong choices, bad choices. But I'm going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart that there ought to have been some people there spiritual enough and loved this boy enough that they could have warned him about some things he is doing. Now, this is where I want to get the story straight so you don't misinterpret nothing I'm saying tonight. We're not the FBI. We're not the church police. But can I tell y'all something? When you see something in my life, and not your opinion, I'm talking about biblically. Not your opinion. Biblically. When you can give me something Bible-based that will help me, would you be friend enough to help me and tell me? When you see my children doing something, some of you mamas not going to like this because you don't think your youngins can do nothing wrong. But if you see my youngins and they grown, would you be Christian enough to alert me or them about the situation? People involved. It ought to affect us. It ought to affect us to see people leaning. Not just the preacher. Listen to me, church. I'm about done. It ought to affect all of us when we see people leaning. Now, there's nothing wrong with encountering people or contacting people or approaching people in the right way. Proverbs, turn there tonight, chapter number 1. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Watch verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'd be a fool if I had a Brother Donald Hubbard or Brother Jake Honey or Brother Lee Wiseman. I would be a fool to have a man such as anybody here that would come and try to help me spiritually, and I'd rebuke you for you trying to help me. Now, I understand some people don't want help and you can't help them, but we can try. And you know, people are so easily offended. I'm the pastor. I've got a pretty good grasp on who comes to church. I can pretty much tell you who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. I can pretty much tell you who's going to have a runny nose and they'll miss three services. But I can tell you that when we see dedicated families and they're starting to get distant and leaning, we ought to say, I want to help you a minute. And I want to love on you a minute. And if you'll go in the right spirit, you're not going there as the church police. You go in there as a brother and sister in Christ concerned about where they're headed. Brother Randy mentioned it this morning. He mentioned one family. I can fill a notebook up. Well, families, it started leaning. Now they're out. They're not in a Bible preaching church. It'd be a blessing if they would leave. They'd go get under Bible preaching. But they just go home. And guess who goes with them? Their children. That's the pitiful thing, Brother Jason. The children goes with them. So the people were involved. We ought to be a concerned congregation. We ought to not be a nosy congregation. What goes on at your house between you and your wife is between you, your wife, and God. It ain't none of my business. But when it comes into this church house, it becomes my business because I'm the under-shepherd. And me as a Christian and you as a brother and a sister, it becomes our business when we're about to fall and we don't warn each other. You know, I caught myself doing it tonight. There's a lady called my hand one time. She's here tonight. She put me in my place. I need to be put in my place. It hurt a little. She told me, she said, you need to quit whining about who ain't there and start preaching to who's there. Well, I got in the car and I thought about that all the way home. I said, ain't no sense me being mad. She's got me dead in the right. You go and shake your little Baptist head. You love constructive criticism. But I tell you what, I didn't pout about it and I didn't get mad at her. I didn't take her name out of my contact list. Matter of fact, she helped you by helping me. Nothing wrong with trying to help each other, but it's a way to do it. Our problem a lot of time, it's not what we say, it's how we say it. You men, can I help you when your wife says, hun, how's this look? Let me give you 33 years of experience. That's great, hun. That's deep, wasn't it? That's real deep. But you know, we ought to encounter people and we ought to enrich people. Look in Proverbs 8 and 33. Proverbs 8 and 33. There's nothing wrong with being honest with people in a loving way. Proverbs 8, 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't get mad at somebody because they're concerned about you. You ought to thank God they're somebody concerned about you. Not playing police, but concerned. We ought to enrich people. Not only should we encounter people, but we ought to enrich people. This The Bible says in 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death, is what God said. Now the people involved, I'm going to ask you this tonight, closing. Could they have helped this young man? Could somebody not have seen him get distant and say, look, come back over here. Come back and sit with us again. Let's get this sorted out. What's your problems? What's wrong? And young people, can I tell you something as your preacher tonight? There's nothing too hard that Jesus can't fix. Mom and daddies, can your preacher tell you something tonight? There's nothing too hard that Jesus can't fix. Could they not have helped this young man? I know some people you can't help. But you know, we owe it to people in the family of God. When we see people doing things that's not right, we ought to try our best to enrich their lives with the Bible and be loving to them. And then we ought to take correction wisely. Well, you're just trying to help me, and I know that. Now the people involved, it ought to affect us. We ought to encounter people, and we ought to enrich people, and then we ought to encourage people. When people are doing good, we ought to tell them they're doing good. Did you know, Mom and Daddy, your children are starving for attention and affection and acceptance? They're starving for that. I was raised under a daddy. I never heard him tell me he loved me until just a few short years before he died. And I was always trying to earn that affection from my daddy. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying people need to be encouraged. We don't need to beat people down. We ought to try to encourage them when we correct. You can correct them, but also encourage people. You don't want to just take a ball bat and knock their brains out. You ought to say, look, let me help you here, and you're doing this good. It'd help you to do that with your children. Encourage them. Encourage the leadership of your church. Encourage those you go to church with. You know, Sunday mornings, we have a lot of families that come just on Sunday morning. We ought to be encouraging them to come back. And you ought not walk over and say, I notice y'all don't come back on Sunday night. Would you get your hide down here tonight? There's ways to go about stuff. But we ought to be involved in people's lives. People, you know, really, people just want to know their concern. There was a mom and a young man sitting here Wednesday night, sitting in the back. That's here before I got here. That's here early. They moved here from Rockmart. Sitting here by herself. How many people went and seen that family? She asked me, she said, I have to work in retail. I can't get here every time the door is open, but I need my boy in church. Could somebody pick him up right downtown? I said, ma'am, if this is a church where you want to come to, if you'll give me his name and address, I'll be sure he's got a way here when the door is open. That's simple. I just want to ask you this. Could the people there at that church not have helped that? I mean, you think about it. If that window's sitting wide open, and I've been sitting right here, and all of a sudden I'm sitting up there on the windowsill, and you see me go to slumbering and rocking, you owe it to me to say, hey, you used to sit over there. Why are you sitting up there? Because I don't care. You play around up there long enough, you're going to fall. Lastly tonight, sleeping in church. There's preaching involved. It ought to awake us. I mean, we ought to sit up on the edge of our seats when this book is open, see what God's got to say to us. The position involved, it ought to alert us. The people involved, it ought to affect us. But the penalty involved, it ought to alarm us. You know something? When you go to sleep in church, you miss out on responsibilities. We're responsible to God tonight. God has saved us and He's given us great responsibilities as a Christian. And if we go to sleep on Him, we fail in our responsibilities. Number two, not only do we miss out on responsibilities, but we miss out on opportunities. You know, what great opportunities to serve God in this day. What a ministry we have. What great opportunity. You want a job? Come see me. I've got all kinds of work to be done. I was thinking today, if this ministry, and I don't want to get on money. God's been so good to us here financially. It's just unbelievable. But I was just thinking today of all of the preachers and families and missionaries and people, the down and outers, that could be helped. If we wouldn't all so self-centered. These people hurting everywhere. I mean, how many people could we go and contact? Shut-ins. Never get to hear that. Young people, you want something to do? Go be a blessing. These older people can't come to church. There's all kind of work to be done. I never want to hear, well, preacher won't give me a job. We've all got a job getting that book. Well, it's a penalty involved. He missed out on responsibilities and he missed out on opportunities. And I'm going to tell you, he missed out on possibilities. If you go to sleep in church, there's no telling what God could do with you. If you'd stay awake. If you'd do what He wants you to do. Did you know that we all going to stand before the judgment seat of God? 1 Corinthians 3, me and my wife, it's the last place I go. Me and my wife was talking last night coming home. We were talking about this verse that scares us. But you know, I'm glad after this verse it's going to be heaven and not hell. And did you know the penalty that's involved that ought to alarm us of going to sleep in church? Not only do we miss out on responsibilities and opportunities, but we miss out on possibility. What could you have done for God? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We're laborers together. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare. What day? The judgment bar of God, the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody that's saved is going to stand here and we're going to give an account of what we've done since we've been saved. Watch. For the day shall declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, that lets me know it's going to be a lot of them burn up. Which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. That lets me know you can't work to get to heaven. But after we get saved, we ought to do some works for heaven. Amen. I think a lot of times people are doing things that nobody knows. But I want to remind everybody here tonight before we leave the house. God is writing it all down. He don't miss nothing. And if I'm going to give something, want to make a show over it about what I've done, guess what? Poof, it's going up in smoke. But if I do things, nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm doing it for the glory and the cause of Christ. There's coming a day I'm going to receive rewards for the things that I've done for the glory to His name. Not for the glory to my name. But to His name. So that ought to remind us tonight, what could we do? There's a penalty involved. And this penalty involved, it ought to get our attention tonight to realize, hey, there's a checking up day. And we're going to give an account of what we've done for the cause of Christ. Think about it. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. But there were some penalties involved that he missed out on. And if you go to sleep in church, go to sleep on God, there's some things, men, you can miss out on. I don't want to miss them. I don't want to get on the bus with my head down. Are you perfect? No. But I tell you what, I want to get some crowns so I can throw them at his feet when I go in the gate. Oh, not that I'll wear them around in glory. We're going to throw them at his feet. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He saved us and he's coming back for us. And we ought to be doing all we can do for him until we get there. I appreciate you being here tonight. If you'd stand with us. I've delivered my heart today, and that's all I know to do. Appreciate you being here.